The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX. Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ranji. It is Super Bowl week, and we are getting ready for the Chiefs and the Eagles. Chiefs trying to three-peat. We thought we'd talk a little bit about the business of the Super Bowl because, well, there's a lot of money that is involved when it is Super Bowl week and the game itself. And to discuss that with us for Front Office Sports, Daniel Kaplan is covering the Super Bowl. He is in New Orleans right now and joins us on KMOX. Daniel, good to talk to you.
Good morning. Good to talk to you.
We want to start here because we were just talking about the ticket prices for the Super Bowl. There was a story yesterday that the prices are down from the prior week. And of course, there's still several thousand dollars if you want to buy a ticket for the game. But what is the ticket situation right now? Is it really cheaper to go this year than usual?
It is definitely cheaper to go this year than last year. I wouldn't say usual. It still will rank as the fifth or sixth priciest Super Bowl on record. But clearly there's a bit of Chiefs fatigue. Chiefs fans have been there and done that, and the Eagles were in the Super Bowl just 2 years ago, and they won the Super Bowl in 2018. So you've got a little of that factor, and clearly if you had seen the Washington Commanders get in, I don't think you would see the Super Bowl ticket prices down as much as they have been, because that's a fan base that hasn't been to a Super Bowl in, what is it, 30 years?
Yeah. Well, I guess the makeup of the fans in the stands at the Super Bowl, obviously it's a tough ticket to get. What percentage of that fan, or of the stands, I should say, are diehard fans versus people who get to go because of business tickets or are there because it's an event?
A healthy portion are the corporate fans. The NFL several years ago through its hospitality company that it actually spun off in the last few years called On Location, they moved a lot of the tickets under that banner. There's 20 to 30,000 tickets that company controls, and they package those tickets with hotel rooms, with parties, with experiences, with meet and greets with former players, current players, and those packages can go for $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. So you're removing a good amount, a good number of tickets from the overall inventory. So just supply and demand would mean that the tickets that are left over go for more. In any given year, depending on matchup, depending on location, Las Vegas, it was a big deal because it was the first time it was in Las Vegas. You'll see the tickets on the secondary ticket market be quite high. This year, even though it's New Orleans, you've got, as I said, you've got two teams that have been there, done that. And so there's not the froth you see usually in the ticket prices for Super Bowl tickets.
I've been talking about this. New Orleans is the only city I've ever been to during a Super Bowl week. And not having been anywhere else, I can't imagine there other than Vegas, a better place to hold an event like that. It seems perfect for it. What sort of economic impact does a Super Bowl and the Super Bowl week bring to a city like that?
Well, particularly a smaller city like New Orleans, it's a tremendous economic impact. Hotel rates are off the charts in New Orleans right now. There's $15,000 a night at the Four Seasons. motels going for $1,000 a night. New Orleans is behind the pace in the number of hotel rooms. So there's, I would say, a quarter of the number of hotel rooms in New Orleans as there was in Las Vegas last year. Atlanta, which will have the Super Bowl in 3 years, there's going to be, there's thousands of new hotel rooms going up. The Super Bowl will be in the San Francisco area next year, LA the following year, far more hotel rooms. So if New Orleans wants another Super Bowl, it's going to have to start thinking as a city to build more hotel space. Everyone loves being in New Orleans, but the stadium is a little dated. The hotel situation is not good. There's just not enough hotel rooms. People are staying in Biloxi, an hour away. So it's a great place to party and to have good food, but it's a little stretched around the edges. And actually, that's the story I'm working on today, is will New Orleans get another Super Bowl, and if so, when? And I think the when would be quite a ways in the future.
And you mentioned this, and I know that people generally do not care about the amenities the press will get. But I've seen that the working press area is in a parking garage. Is that unusual?
It's incredibly unusual. I was there for media night. You walk through, and it's not just a parking garage. It's a parking garage circa 1970. And they're going to make you laugh even more, or at least cry on my behalf. The restrooms were porta-johns outside.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
And they had one of those areas where you could wash your hands, like porta, you know, that they had porta-johns. And the water didn't come out.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's a
this
nightmare.
Like my worst nightmare. Oh, my gosh. Well,
yeah, sorry about that, Daniel.
I'm not the person that the New Orleans Visitors Committee wants writing the story I'm writing today.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, I guess New Orleans, it's not a small town, but by Super Bowl standards, it is. It's like holding a massive event in a small town.
And they're used to hosting big events like Mardi Gras and such. But I think we talked about the corporate crowd. What the Super Bowl city expects now, what the NFL expects. I just think that New Orleans the area around the Superdome is run down. I've heard a lot of complaints about hotels, the quality of the hotels in New Orleans. I mean, this is not just from media members. It's people staying at like the official NFL hotel. I've heard complaints about. So I just think that things are dated here in New Orleans.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about, I mean, the NFL surges ever forward. And last year, a 30-second Super Bowl commercial was $7 million, a record $7 million. And now they have sold 30-second commercials for a record $8 million. Is this, do you see a cap to Super Bowl advertising at some point, or is this still on a rocket ship?
Oh, I don't see a cap at all. I think it's on a total rocket ship. You look at the fragmentation of media, how scripted television is almost non-existent now. The sports in general, and the NFL in particular, and obviously the Super Bowl, it delivers ratings you can't get anywhere else. And an event that brings in 120 million viewers, that's totally unique and one of a kind. I'd expect Super Bowl ad rates to hit $9.5-10 million next year.
That's insane. I did see, I'll ask you quickly, this is super specific, but there was an Apple commercial back in 1984, about 1984, and it very 80s with big hair and a woman running through a theater to break a screen. And it was them introducing a new Apple computer, and sales like surged in the next month for Apple. And they were saying this Apple commercial and the ramifications of it forever changed Super Bowl advertising.
That's right.
Did it? How significant was it?
That you just described the most significant ad perhaps in ad history. That led to what we're talking about now, which is the prices in Super Bowl ads. It led to companies treating the Super Bowl as a must-have platform, spending almost as much money as the cost of the advertising on the production of the ad. It all started with that Mac computer ad.
Mm-hmm. Was that wait? Was it?
Realize,
oh, go ahead.
You have to realize that I'm probably much older than you. 1984, people didn't have desktop computers.
Yeah.
I mean, they were just coming out. This was the ad that really broke that into the mainstream.
I think it was produced by Ridley Scott.
Like, I think that's
big time production. Yeah.
Maybe they could reproduce that with merge it with Gladiator.
That's a great idea. Oh, yeah. Go back to it.
We're talking to Daniel Kaplan, who is covering the Super Bowl in New Orleans for Front Office Sports. And we are hearing that this could be the most viewed Super Bowl ever. Does that sound like it's a possibility, even though there is Chiefs fatigue?
It's always a possibility. I would imagine Chiefs fatigue might make that just a slight miss on the most viewed Super Bowl ever, which was last year at 123 million. But whether it's 115 million or 130 million, these numbers are, I mean, they're hard to believe when you look at what a normal television program or a normal sporting event gets. I mean, the World Series gets 13, 14 million average viewers. The NBA Finals gets 10, 11 million average viewers. This is just, it's fantasy land for TV sports programming.
How much more did the presence of Taylor Swift impact the viewership of the NFL even today, not just in that one snapshot moment, you know, last year and so forth, but even today?
Oh, I think it's drawn in new viewers. I mean, it's drawn in a demographic that didn't watch sports before. Here's a question it's been put to me since I've been here. Who will get more TV time on Sunday, Taylor Swift or Donald Trump?
I saw that on your Twitter. I voted. Yeah. That's a great question.
It should be a prop bet.
It should. Maybe it is. I don't know.
There are so many Super Bowl props. Well, do you know much about what the security situation will be like on Sunday?
Yeah. Wow.
Well, I'm happy I'm leaving Sunday morning. Let me put it that way. But it was already going to be extraordinarily tight given the events of the tragic events of January 1st here in New Orleans. With the president coming, I can't even imagine what it's going to be like trying to get into that stadium. The roads already were getting closed around the stadium. The roads are going to get closed around the stadium. It's just going to be insane.
Daniel Kaplan is with us covering the Super Bowl in New Orleans right now. I forgot to ask you this question about the Super Bowl ads. I had read that Anheuser-Busch, which is a local St. Louis company, or the headquarters is here, they're going to have something like 5 or 6 Super Bowl ads. Who is spending the most during the game on Sunday?
Well, I think it would be Anheuser-Busch if they've got 5 or 6 Super Bowl ads. It's interesting. One of the categories that usually is a big spender is not spending this year, and that's insurance. Given the situations with the LA fires and the insurance companies coming under attack for whether they pulled coverage of some of the homes, and obviously the situation with health insurance and the murder of the insurance executive, it's just not a good time for public PR for the insurance provider. So I don't know if it's 0 or 1 or 2, but there are very few insurance providers doing Super Bowl ads this year.
You know, I know there have been some total duds of Super Bowl ads that have been controversial. The one I remember from several years ago, the little boy talking about all the experiences in life that he didn't have, and because he died in a drunk driving accident. It was just very, very dark. Has a bad or dud Super Bowl commercial actually ever hurt the bottom line of a big company?
Well, I can't definitively say that, but usually even bad news can be good news if you get exposure. The public service ad you referred to got a lot of negative attention. It did bring attention to the issue, and so there can be dud ads that on the ad rankings that USA Today does and others do, the worst ads. They still get attention. They still get coverage. And at the end of the day, it's about brand exposure and exposing the brand.
Daniel, we've been having a lot of fun with the idea that we have almost $300 million to spend here in the city of St. Louis because of the Rams settlement against Stan Kroenke. That was the award that we got, and how it should be spent. And somebody said, hey, let's put a down payment on a football team. So the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles are both pretty valuable franchises. So how much would $300 million get us?
You know, it reminds me when the Rams were still in St. Louis and they signed up, I think it was National Car Rental. They signed up as the locals that were trying to keep the team in town signed up National Car Rental as a naming rights partner. for prospective stadium. It was announced the day there was an NFL meeting in New York, and Jerry Jones walked in, and I asked him what he thought about the naming rights deal. He says, "How much is that worth?" And I said, "Oh, I think it was at $200 million." And he said, "That won't even buy you a hallway in L.A."
Yeah.
And I don't think $1 million barely gets you in the door of the NFL now.
I think. Yeah, I think what it gets you is Tom Brady as your broadcaster.
That's it.
I think that's all you get.
The Philadelphia Eagles just sold some limited partnership stakes and valued that team at $8 billion. So $300 million is not going to get you very far anymore. You're better off buying a team in a different sport.
Okay.
I guess we'll just fill the potholes.
Yeah, we'll just use it for the water system instead.
Yeah.
Use it for public education.
Oh yeah, that too. Yeah, we need water and education. Daniel Kaplan, covering the Super Bowl for Front Office Sports. Thank you so much for your time, and good luck getting out of town before the security problems.
Well, I'm worried the airspace is going to be shut down for a period of time.
Oh, yeah, that too.
And good luck with the Port-a-Johns.
Yes.
Yeah. Going back to the stadium.
Daniel's getting out
get
of
your
Dodge.
Own sanitizer.
Thank you.
Thank you, Daniel.
All right, take care.
That's Amy Marks-Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. This is KMOX.